right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and Happy New Year. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 6 days away to the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon, five-time African champions, will host the Stallions of Burkina Faso, the 2013 Nations Cup runners-up, in the opening match, January 9th in the capital, Yaoundé. The Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 African titles, will begin their Nations Cup campaign January 11th when they play the 3-time African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria in Garoua, Cameroon. To find out more about Nigeria's Nations Cup preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the Super Eagles media officer, Babafemi Raji.
Currently, we've got 12 players in camp. We expect more today. And we've had training sessions, interesting training session. We had one this evening. We have at the moment in camp Zaidu Sanusi of FC Porto in Portugal. Moses Simon, who plays in France for FC Nantes. Francis Uzoho, who does this thing in Cyprus for AC Omonia. Henry Onyeku is also here, plays for Olympiakos in Greece. Peter Olainka plays in the Czech Republic for Slavia Prague. And then Chido Ziawaziem, who applies his trade in Turkey with Alanyaspor. Chidera Ezuke for CSK Moscow in Russia is also here. Daniel Akpey of Kaiser Chiefs in South Africa. Sadiq Umar, who plays for UD Almeria right there in Spain, is also here. We've also got Olisanda of Orlando Pirates of South Africa. John Noble plays for Aimba Football Club of Nigeria. And Taiwo Awoni, who's a goal poacher right there for Union Berlin in Germany. All 12 players are in camp. We had a wonderful training session, interesting one right there. We had the coaches, all the coaches are present there. Coach Augustine Eguavoen led the entire training. He's been leading the training. And then assisted by Coach Paul Aibogu, who's also the deputy technical director. And then we also have Joseph Yubu, assistant coach, and also goalkeeper's trainer. I'm talking about our coach Aloy Agu and then Coach Silas Yusufo. Training has been going on very, very fine so far with all the players.
What has been the response to the training and the mood in the camp?
Well, the response in camp has been very good, encouraging. We all know it's the Yuletai season, and we also know some of the players have commitments with their club sides, and that's why it's a bit slow, but it's not. Every player already communicated with the team admin on when they would arrive. So there's no issue about the arrival time. All arrival dates have already been scheduled, and we've been notified. So when we know when and when, which player or what player will arrive at what time. So we're good to go. Everything is going on well. The mood in camp is awesome, wonderful. We are a potentially AFCON winning side. We want to win the AFCON. And that is exactly what we are preparing for. We are preparing for this feat, to achieve this feat of winning the AFCON for the fourth time. And we believe that with the hard work we've put into this, so far so good, our efforts will be crowned with success when we hit Cameroon. The plan is to get to Cameroon on the 5th of January, that on Wednesday, and continue preparations for our first game on the 11th of January.
Do you have any injury scares?
Well, no injury scare at all. Everything is going on fine. The players are responding well, top-notch in terms of their training. The training has been wonderful, awesome. The physical trainer has done a good job in ensuring the conditioning is good for this tournament. It's the AFCON. If you list tournaments globally, you know the AFCON is top-notch. And Nigeria were one of those anyone would look out for to win the AFCON. We have an AFCON winning side, and we don't pray that any form of injuries or injury concerns at all. And right here in camp, we've been adhering strictly to all COVID protocols. We're dealing with a bunch of good, thorough professionals, lads who, from their base down here, know what it is to play football at that highest level, and they're highly professional. Talking about the players here. So together with the players, the technical crew, members of the backroom staff, we all are poised to ensure we make most use of this and start getting set for the tournament proper, which with our game starting on the 11th of this month. So no injury worries, no injury scare at all. We're all good to go. The players are happy. And we should have full complements of our players by the night and on the 3rd. So it means we'll have a big time training in the morning and evening on the 4th, and perhaps in the morning on the 5th, before we depart for Garua from Abuja here on the 5th, that's on Wednesday. So definitely, we don't pray for injury concerns, and we want to thank everyone for supporting the Super Eagles. Keep supporting the Super Eagles as we get set to be crowned champions of Africa on the 6th of February, 2022.
That's a very confident Babafemi Raji, the media officer of Nigeria's national men's football team, the Super Eagles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Babafemi Raji, media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with more Africa Cup of Nations football news.
It's 6 days before the opening game of the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon. Players of the host nation intensified their training ahead of the tournament on Sunday after observing a day of rest on Saturday, which was New Year's Day. Sunday's training gave the technical team an opportunity to assess the players' fitness while concentrating on their game plans. Ignatius Ganago is a striker for the Indomitable Lions.
I feel very good. I'm in good form. I work very hard because the AFCON is not really easy. So we have to push up and get ready for it.
Elsewhere, Malawi Flames defeated Comoros 2-1 in a COSAFA friendly derby as both sides prepare for their participation in the Nations Cup. First half goals from Gabadiho Mahango and Kunda Muyaba gave the Flames a 2-1 win over the Selenkanthans, with Fayaz Mator scoring for the Islanders at the Abdullah Al Fasel Stadium in Saudi Arabia. The friendly match was a first for Malawi after coach Meke Mwese announced his final squad heading for Cameroon. And Guinean interim president Mamadi Doumbouya has told the national team to bring home the African Cup of Nations trophy or pay back the money spent to prepare for the tournament. The national elephants kick off their adventure in Cameroon on January the 10th when they take on Malawi, with matches against Senegal and Zimbabwe to follow in Group B. The West Africans have only ever reached the African final once, back in 1976 when they finished runners-up to Morocco, while the 2019 edition saw them exit at the round of 16. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa as we discuss the return of Africa's stolen art. France repatriated 26 looted colonial-era artifacts to Benin. Now museums in Europe and the U.S. are rethinking what to do with their African art collections. We'll discuss art restitution and reparations. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta has some weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Happy New Year, Prince!
Happy New Year and sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka scored the first Premier League goal of 2022 for Arsenal, but it wasn't enough to beat Manchester City, who came from behind to seal a 2-1 crucial victory at the Emirates Stadium. Algerian playmaker Riyad Mahrez drew things level from the penalty spot, before Rodri sealed the deal in the dying minutes to help City claim an 11th successive Premier League win with 10 points clear at the top of the table. The match also witnessed two major VAR incidents and an avoidable red card for Arsenal's Brazilian defender Gabriel. The Gunners felt aggrieved after City were awarded a second-half penalty after their own shots for a penalty in the first half were denied by referee Stewart Atwell, following a long VAR check for City shotstopper Edison's tackle on Martin Odegaard. Arsenal assistant manager Albert Stevenberg was frustrated by the result but also expressed confidence of his team's performance.
Very frustrating, of course, with the end result, but also very proud of the performance of the players. I also said that just now, you know, when you end up the game playing with 10 players against this City team, and you don't concede a lot of chances also, I think the overall performance has been very good of the players. Consistency there, I think, for me, the Odegaard moment is a clear penalty. But if there is any consistency there, you would say, OK, bring the referee also over to check. That didn't happen. And with the City penalty, that happened. And still, I thought it was quite soft, but OK, it happened. We took the game again after that because we had the opportunity directly to score, of course, with Martinelli. But it all changed, of course, with the red card.
There was Arsenal assistant manager Albert Stevenberg sharing his thoughts after his team's controversial defeat to Manchester City. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku's future at Chelsea looks increasingly uncertain after the hitman was left out of the team that went ahead to secure a 2-2 draw against Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. The 28-year-old was dropped from the Chelsea squad after doing an explosive interview with Sky Italia, saying he was quote-unquote not very happy with the situation at Chelsea, since the Blues manager Thomas Tuchel preferred to use a different formation than the one he expected. Chelsea boss Tuchel revealed he was less impressed with the comments.
Well, the thing got too big. The thing got too noisy so close to the match, so I decided to protect the preparation of the match, and that's why he's out. Of course, we have spoken. We've spoken twice. I've spoken to the main players, of course, and after that we had to realize it's too close to the match, it's too big. We delayed the decision what to do, and while we are delaying it, we need to protect the preparation of the match. We have a big match of football to play, and we need full focus, which is anyway hard to get even with this decision. It's a difficult decision to take, but in my opinion, it was the decision to take.
The former Everton and Manchester United man has in the past hinted that he would fancy a return back to Inter Milan, having only left the Serie A side last summer in a deal estimated to be around $130 million. Meanwhile, Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane and Egyptian talisman and Premier League top scorer Mo Salah both registered their names on the scoresheet, but Liverpool blew away a 2-goal lead courtesy of Mateo Kovacic's superb volley and US international Christian Pulisic's side footer into the top corner. The draw leaves second-place Chelsea 10 points behind leaders Manchester City, with Liverpool a point further back having played a game less than both their title rivals. Liverpool's assistant manager Pep was thrilled with his team's intensity and determination.
It's never boring with us, eh? So it's a great cream for the public. That's why we play, to entertain the fans. And I think overall it was a really high-intensity game from the start. We would have wanted to control the game better, have more of the ball in their half. But they are good side, so they cause problems as well. But overall, I want to make a big compliment to our team, because you know the situation we're in, and we're not here to make excuses, but it's unbelievable how they fought with all they had to keep the result. And even in second half, we have 2-3 really good chances to score the 3-2.
There's Liverpool's assistant manager Pep post-match reaction after his team secured a draw against Chelsea. Meanwhile, Tottenham's boss Antonio Conte extended his unbeaten restart to life in the English Premier League to 8 matches after Spurs secured a vital 1-0 win against Watford thanks to Davinson Sanchez's 96th-minute win at Vicarage Road. Here's Conte's reaction to his team's performance.
We scored at the end, but I think that we tried for the whole game. And in this type of game, you have to be intelligent to attack in the best way to create chances to score, but at the same time you have to pay great attention to lose the balance, because Watford is very dangerous in counter attack. They have offensive play, very strong physically and also fast. I think we played a good game, we controlled the game. When you arrive at the last pass, sometimes we had to improve. We had to improve because when we arrive there, it's too important, the last pass to score.
Then Tottenham's manager Antonio Conte reacting to his team's crucial win against Watford. Manchester United are set to host Wolves on Monday at Old Trafford. The Red Devils will be boosted by the return of Bruno Fernandes, who's back from suspension, while Victor Lindelof and Rafael Varane are also expected to be available for selection. Manchester United fans will be delighted to hear that Wolves are winless in 10 Premier League games away to the Red Devils since beating them at Old Trafford in February 1980. Manchester United could also secure a 4th successive Premier League win against Wolves for the first time since a sequence of 5 victories between 1964 and 1968. The Wanderers have also lost all their first games of the calendar year in the last 7 previous Premier League campaigns. Moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Real Madrid started their 2022 on the wrong foot after slumping to a 1-0 defeat against Getafe, thanks to a first-half goal from Enis Unal, which brought an end to the Los Blancos' 15-game unbeaten run in all competitions. Real, however, remained top of the La Liga table with 46 points after 20 games played. Luke de Jong also registered his name on the score sheet to help Barcelona secure a 1-0 victory over Mallorca, while Angel Correa netted a brace to help Atletico brush aside Rayo Vallecano 2-0 and snap a 4-game losing streak in La Liga. Atletico currently lies 4th with 32 points after 20 games played. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Prince.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle @VOA Sunny Sports. In African athletics, runners from Ethiopia broke the men's and women's 5-kilometer road world records on New Year's Eve in Barcelona, Spain. Douglas Mpuga reports.
In athletics, Ethiopia's Ejagayehu Taye and Berihu Aregawi broke the world 5-kilometer records in Barcelona on Friday, clocking 14.19 and 12.49 respectively. The 21-year-old Taye had set an Ethiopian 3,000 meters record of 8 minutes 19.52 seconds earlier last year, and was the second fastest woman in the world over the 5,000 meters this season. But in Barcelona, she was contesting just the second international road race of her career. 20-year-old Aregawi, meanwhile, had come within 1 second of Joshua Cheptegei's world record in Lille in November, so was keen to take another crack at the mark before the year was out to ensure he could end 2021 on a high. With the women and men starting at the same time, Taye was able to use some of the men in the field as pacemakers. And Aregawi had the pacemaker for the first kilometer or so, but after that he was out on his own. The Diamond League 5,000 meter champion stormed through the finish line in 12.49, taking 2 seconds off Cheptegei's world record. Peter Maru was a distant runner-up in 13.30.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. Turning to tennis, the spotlight in the new year will be on Australia. Craig Gabriel reports from Sydney, Australia.
In a lot of places, a buffet is not allowed because of COVID directives. But in Australia, there's a tennis smorgasbord board happening as we count down to the first major of the year, the Australian Open, which starts in Melbourne on 17 January. Melbourne is hosting a lead-in event as well, and day one action will see Naomi Osaka, who continues to take one day at a time, Andy Murray and Nick Kyrgios involved with matches. Oh, and also a guy named Nadal. Rafa is starting with doubles. He's teaming with compatriot Jaume Munar to face Aussies Alexei Poprin and Mark Pullmans. In Adelaide, world number one and Wimbledon champion Ash Barty is getting ready to play her first event since the US Open. I tried to find out what she's been doing in the meantime to get her game set. I didn't get much out of her.
Come on, Craig. It's the first time I've seen you in a while. I'm not going to tell you all my secrets. Let's be patient. No, look, it's for me, it's just a complete development. It's continuing to try and work my game and better every facet of my game. You know, whether it's how I hit a specific forehand, how I, or when I use a shot. It's all about using that in matches correctly. And a lot of that is match awareness as much as being able to strike the tennis ball.
In Sydney, the ATP Cup continues. The USA had a 3-0 win first up and now take on Germany. An interesting match will be John Isner against Alexander Zverev. The home nation Australia plays Russia, Italy takes on France, and Great Britain will deal with Canada. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Sydney.
Thanks, Craig. Craig mentioned Naomi Osaka taking it one day at a time. Osaka was one of the sportswomen who brought the issue of mental health to the forefront in 2021. I asked Dan Friedel for his thoughts on the issue.
Sonny, everybody listening's family members, everybody listening's friends has had a tough 18 or 20 months because of the pandemic, and athletes are not immune to that. I mean, we heard stories about Simone Biles' fellow Olympian Katie Ledecky, another Washington, D.C. area native, swimming in people's backyard pools because all of the training centers were closed. And, you know, these are athletes who are conditioned to their routine, practicing, lifting weights, getting physical therapy, working with their coaches, going on to the next tournament. And to have all of that disrupted gave them time to think about how did they want their lives to be. And I think Naomi Osaka got a lot of criticism around the time of the French Open for saying that she wouldn't do these press conferences because she was tired of getting asked critical questions. But I think it makes sense that some athletes, to perform at the level where they need to perform, they need to be fully confident in themselves. And if they're constantly hearing questions from media members that are wondering if they're at their best or asking them to be self-critical, it can be hard. I mean, you think about an athlete like Venus Williams and Serena Williams, who did so well for so long and answered every question, Serena in particular. The fact that they had the mental strength to go through all of that and do so well for so many years is really impressive. But I remember, Sonny, talking about the NBA, Kevin Love wrote a lot about his mental health challenges and the needs to make mental health just as important as physical health. And I think the fact that Biles, you know, stepped away from the Olympics at the very beginning of the team competition because she just didn't think that she was going to be able to perform to the level that she needed to like even just be safe, completing some of the moves that she's known for. I think that, you know, it gave people a chance. It gave the average sports fan a chance to think about it. I mean, you know, you have somebody like Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods has been a high-level athlete for over 25 years. He came onto the scene in the mid-90s when he was in college at Stanford. Even before that, he was on TV shows as a young child. To think about being in the spotlight for that long and how much a drain it is on you, I think it's important that these athletes are stepping out there and saying, I need to take care of my mental well-being in the same way that I need to take care of my physical well-being. And we're in an era now where the conversation about mental health is more welcomed. I think people aren't criticizing them so much for saying that I need to take a break for my mental health, because more and more people are seeing therapists and talking about their vulnerabilities. So to see people who are at the top of their physical powers saying, I'm not perfect, I think that's really an important message for everybody out there.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedel. And Happy New Year, Dan.
Sonny, happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndumbulo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David, and Happy New Year. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh will have National Football League and National Basketball Association news for us.
The Packers clinch the NFC's number one seed with a big win over the Vikings. Mark Daniels reports.
On a chilly Sunday night at Lambeau Field, the Green Bay Packers routed the Vikings 37-10. Aaron Rodgers passed for two touchdowns as the Packers will be the top seed in the NFC for the second consecutive year.
We've handled the cold pretty well over the years, so that's what we're hoping for. In the playoffs.
The Titans are back on top of the AFC after routing the Dolphins 34-3 to claim their second straight AFC South crown. Ryan Tannehill tossed a pair of TDs in Tennessee's third win in four games.
That's what the great teams do, is they find a way to get hot and build confidence going into the playoffs.
Cincinnati ended Kansas City's eight-game winning streak with a 34-31 victory to win the AFC North. Evan McPherson kicked a game-winning field goal, and Ja'Marr Chase had an NFL rookie record 266 receiving yards. Tom Brady's game-winning drive lifted the Buccaneers over the Jets 28-24, but Antonio Brown stole the headlines after the former All-Pro receiver took off his uniform and walked off the field during the third quarter. Bucs coach Bruce Arians says the team is moving on from Brown.
He is no longer a Buc. All right, that's the end of the story. Let's talk about the guys that went out there and won the game.
Kyler Murray outdueled Dak Prescott as the Cardinals held off the Cowboys 25-22. The Rams edged the Ravens 20-19 on Odell Beckham Jr.'s TD catch with 57 seconds left. Buffalo, New England, and Philadelphia all clinched playoff berths after victories. Other winners included the Raiders, Chargers, 49ers, Saints, Seahawks, and Bears. In the NBA, Jaylen Brown was the leading scorer of the night with a career-high 50 points in Boston's 116-111 OT win over Orlando.
Work pays off.
My teammates found me tonight, and I knocked some shots down.
Geffen Coolbot.
Happy New Year to all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.